You're listening to Marketing Matters
on Business Radio.
Welcome back to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my co-host, Americus Reed, the Whitney M. Young Jr. Professor of Marketing and the Brand Identity Theorist. And in this section, we're happy to welcome our next guest, Samantha Lerner Cobrin, who's the Director of Marketing at Obsess. Hello, Samantha.
Hello. Very excited to be here.
Awesome.
So we want to find out how you got to where you are. But before we do that, just tell us what Obsess is for anyone who's not familiar.
Of course. So Obsess is really building the next generation of e-commerce. We are a SaaS or a software as a service company, and we build virtual stores and experiences for some of the world's most recognizable brands. So if you think about the Ralph Laurens or the Dior's, the Coaches, the Mattels, these are all some of our customers. And they really use us to increase engagements within their communities. Instead of just having that find a product on your e-commerce site, click it and check out. While that's important, we create this additional element of interactivity and immersion for these brands to plug into their e-commerce site.
So I saw on your site, you had this little video of one of these brands. I forget now which brand it was, but it was a famous brand. I just forgot. But anyway, because I was looking more at what you were doing. And so this avatar was walking to these different stores and then putting makeup on, and the makeup went on the avatar.
Oh, dear.
And the avatar skin changed color and all this other stuff. So is that a typical one? Or, I mean, it was featured on your site, so I assume it's something you do.
Yes, that is actually, I believe you're referring to our experience with our customer, Charlotte Tilbury, who we love. They've been a partner of ours for a long time. So Charlotte Tilbury, which is a cosmetics and skincare brand, for anyone that's not familiar, really wanted to enhance their virtual store environment by adding in an additional component of interactivity where their customers could come in, they could create their own avatars, they could create their own avatars in a way that was comfortable for the brand as well. So they created a bunch of different makeup looks and outfits that they could wear that really complement the products they sell. And that allows their customers to walk around this crazy world filled with beautiful Charlotte Tilbury makeup.
Wow.
They can try it on.
That's
they can play games with it. They can shop with their friends and talk about it all in this virtual space.
Very cool.
Do you sell the virtual goods, or it's to sell the physical goods?
So we are actually selling physical goods in the majority of our stores right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our platform plugs into any e-commerce website. So if you are a brand and you sell your products in a regular e-commerce environment, we just do a quick plug in to that store, and you can basically show your regular products in a virtual environment, which is super cool because we'll basically develop the environment so that you can do a 360 view of that product. You can, if it's beauty, you can try it on. If it's fashion, you can kind of see what it looks like in different spaces. So a lot of cool ways to interact with products that you already have.
Interesting.
So I'm just trying to get this straight. So it's e-commerce tied to physical commerce, and what you do is create a more immersive virtual environment. Is that right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I like to think of us as almost an extension of a regular website. If you think about when you go on a website and you're shopping for shoes, let's say you're shopping for shoes, you go to pick out your product. Sometimes you want to know more about that product. You want to know where it's made, what it looks like in certain instances, where do I wear it, who else is wearing it. Right now, the standard for e-commerce and really commerce in general is to be able to just have somebody tell you about it, or you can read about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is put it in a super visual environment so that our customers or our brand's customers can go and explore how they would really use that product in a real world context.
So that's a cool idea. So in order to convince, you said you have tons of clients on this. In order to convince all these clients to do this, do you have data, or are people just going on faith and trying things, and how's that working?
That's a great question. And that is my challenge every day as a marketer. So yes to both. So because the world of virtual, the world of the metaverse, and all of these new crazy things that we're talking about are so new, there is sort of limited data for our brand partners or the decision makers at these brands that we work with to go off of. Mm. With that being said, Obsess has been in business for a few years now, and we've built almost 200 stores, and we've gathered data from those 200 stores to understand, okay, when a person, for example, puts a game in the context of their product, maybe they do a scavenger hunt for one of their products in their virtual store, that increases a consumer's time spent by more than 70% within the store. Mm. That means that people are interacting with the brand 70% more than they would in another context. And that's really meaningful because brands are really looking for brand equity, brand love, past that single point of transaction. And that's what we can provide.
So that's pretty interesting. So this goes back to what do you measure and what's important. You're not talking about purchase, and that's fine, but you're talking about time spent interacting with the brand,
right,
as
brand
as
building
a key
and engagement.
Metric. Yep. I'm assuming is your key metric and kind of what, because you're providing an experience, you're not necessarily pushing the product out in that experience. You're kind of making an experience. So it would make sense to measure how long you spend
100%.
In that.
Yeah. And then the power of to your point, you say this all the time, Barbara, the notion that the experience, let the experience unfold in the domain of joy and delight and engagement, and then sales happen because of that. I mean, I think that's a big one. Let me ask you this though, Samantha, because so if I show up and I'm one of these retailers, do you design the store for me, or how does this happen? Two questions. Talk a little bit about designing that experience and the layout and all of that. And then number two, the question of, you know, do you also, I mean, is this open for everyone, or would you actually advise a client to say, hey, yeah, maybe this is not what you should be doing. Maybe you should be doing something else. And,
yeah, for
you know,
like faucets or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you know, I know we're early in the metaverse, yeah,
but we
want to know, like,
it makes sense to be beauty and apparel.
It makes sense to that, but is there, you know, are there some things where it's like meta worse,
yeah,
if you try to do this stuff? And just talk about your design process. How do you create these stores?
First of all, quick tangent. I've heard a lot of metaverse jargon. I have not heard metaverse yet. This is my first time. So
yeah, talk to America.
There you go.
Let's not bring that to the masses.
Let's keep good energy. Let's keep good energy, positive vibe, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir. Yes,
to
sir.
Answer your question, all jokes aside, to answer your question, so the first part of that is how does a virtual experience get designed? And with Obsess, sort of one of the big, beautiful things about Obsess is that we are a software platform first and foremost. So we have a lot of pre-built technology by a ton of experienced, fantastic engineers that brands can easily plug into. But the flip side of that, which is even more, I would argue the beauty of Obsess, is that our bread and butter is working with brands who essentially have brand guidelines, what brand doesn't. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that scare brands, in my experience, and I do come from sort of the brand side before this, is that the metaverse or gaming environments like Fortnite or Roblox, they're not in a traditional sense always so aesthetically pleasing. Yeah. What we do is we kind of create a customized technology you're able to customize to your brand guidelines.
Cool.
And so when you, a brand marketer, is coming in to plug into the Obsess technology, you can tell us, hey, this is what's really important to us design-wise.
Oh,
this is what we
cool.
do don't want, and then we can customize.
You know, it reminds me, I teach my class a lot about Coca-Cola and some of their ads, and I show them some of their ad campaigns that they do that they film through a rose-colored lens. Mm. So everything's kind of red, and all the bad guys are blue in that. And it's very subtle, you know, it's
very
not...
subtle.
But still, it's aesthetically an automatic reaction. Mm-hmm. So I can totally imagine, especially with the big brands you were discussing, where brand image and equity is the name of the game, they want everything designed clean, you know,
gotcha.
And if it's not, it's not going to contribute to the brand. So that totally makes sense. Do you do any augmented reality? Is it all virtual?
So we do, we are mostly a virtual platform. We have absolutely and will continue to make some virtual sort of augmented reality experiences through headsets, let's say. So we work a lot with Oculus and sort of the Meta Quest experiences,
yeah,
from Meta.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can sort of extend your virtual experience into a headset and have this sort of 3D surround sound, surround visual experience.
Mm-hmm.
But really the beauty of the Obsess platform, I think, is that it's super accessible to anyone.
Yeah,
it's a web-based platform, so you don't need a device, you don't need an app. You just go onto a brand's website and click into their virtual store, and
interesting.
You're there.
And it works well, Samantha, on mobile, you know, the mobile side screen as well?
Absolutely. Works even better on mobile.
Mobile can be augmented reality then, like the way Pokemon 2 was, or whatever Pokemon number it was.
Right, but right.
Where you could look around for your Pokemon, and, you know. So do you do that kind of stuff with the phone, like where you can put your...
Yeah, I mean, depending on what the brand wants, we're typically focused on keeping customers engaged in the environment itself. But who's to say, you know, what brands are going to want in the future? And I think the sky is the limit for us in that respect.
You know, what's so interesting about this is, like, one of the things that made Amazon famous was that it got you off the website as fast as possible with one-click shopping.
Right.
You know, and clearly there are people who like frictionless. They want it easy, easy. I want to shop as fast as I can. And what you're describing is terrible because right. you're adding all this right. dwell time on the website. And, you know, what do I need to spend time? I got something else to do. But there are also clearly people who do want
yeah,
to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And not
there for
everybody
that reason.
Wants to get out of the store, out 100%. Of the environment right away. So I'm really glad to hear something like this is working.
Yeah. And by the way, listeners, if you want to join this conversation, you can talk to the metaverse guru. We are speaking with Samantha Lerner-Coburn, Director of Marketing at Obsess. Join the conversation with us. Give us a call. Tell us about your metaverse experiences. 1-844-942-7866. That's 1-844-Wharton. Join the conversation, because I'm just trying to learn about this, Barbara, this metaverse
yeah,
and all this stuff.
The more we can learn, the better.
The more we can learn, the better.
But, you know, I'm interested, Samantha, you said you came from the brand side, and you said Obsess has only been here a few years. So what did you do to get to be the professor to us, to teach us about this? Yeah. How did you get there?
Sure. I mean, so I guess to give you a little bit of background on me, I'm actually relatively new to the Obsess team, but I've been a fan of Obsess for a couple of years now. I've been, again, on the brand side for most of my career, working largely in e-commerce marketing for a number of luxury fashion, food, travel technology companies. And so I've been heavily invested in recent years in some of the data and sort of research that's come out around how important it is to immerse customers in more than just, you mentioned, that sort of one-click Amazon experience. I think as somebody who has always been really invested in great brands that aren't just about the one purchase, it's about kind of that brand love over time. I was really sold into the fact that virtual environments, or the metaverse really, is another touch point for marketers to engage with their customers in a way that's very interactive. And it provides more than just that transactional relationship. So when I was kind of doing my digging in previous roles, I kept stumbling upon Obsess virtual stores as some of the best in class examples, which got me very excited to eventually join the team.
Let me ask you this, Samantha. What's the, you said it's a software service. Can you give us a sense of like what this costs? And also just the idea, to your point, you know, your model, which is, you know, basically the idea that, you know, how do you, because you could make an argument, Samantha, that you should be paid if you can show that they came into our Obsess virtual platform and then they bought that thing on your website. I mean, you could say like you owe us a percentage of this causal attribution that happened. So, but do you do any of that, or are you just like, we're only a subscription and here's a subscription, and how, just give us a sense of, give us a range of like how much this would cost a brand to be able to participate in.
I hate to dodge this question, but the cost really does vary. But I think what I can say is that the model that we have is this sort of subscription, annual subscription model. It works for us because we're not so invested, again, in that immediate performance-based metric. Like some marketing channels, like an affiliate network, for example, they want you to convert immediately. And the more sales that you make, the more that benefits the marketers on both ends. While that's absolutely true for us, we want all of our brands to do very well in terms of conversion. We want our brands to be able to exceed in some of the metrics of, in brand metics, frankly, that don't convert as quickly. So that model for us, I don't think would be as effective, but the annual model does work for us, especially because this is a new space and we want our brands to be able to play on these new virtual platforms in the same way that their consumers are playing. And so when you give them a year plus to do that, you can start to learn, how do consumers behave in these environments? How can I optimize my strategies on both e-commerce, virtual, and in my regular stores to adapt to how these consumers are behaving?
So it sounds like another advantage is experimentation. Do you do a lot of experiments? Do you do A/B experiments, finding out what works and what doesn't work there?
Absolutely. And I've actually, in my few months at Obsess, I've been so amazed with the number of dynamic experiments that can be run at any given time. I think even if you think about sort of at the very core of retail, is understanding, what do people want to see at the forefront of their line? What do people want to see in the window displays? And this is something that in a virtual experience is really easy to test. Yeah. You don't need to buy a lot of equipment. You don't need to get rid of old clothing. You just put up a virtual image, see how it works for a few weeks. If consumers are responding, great.
Interesting.
If not, adapt.
I love that. I would actually use that in research.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right?
That'd be super cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
It sounds like a better Second Life. Like Second Life was 10 years ago and it didn't really work.
Yes.
But I think it wasn't state of the art yet. And it sounds like we're now in like the Second Life 2.0, 3.0, a third life, or who knows what we're going to call that. But anyway, that's fine. Anyway, Samantha, thank you so much for joining us today. And where can our listeners go to find out more information about you and everything going on at Obsess?
Absolutely. I would encourage everyone to check out Obsess, that's OBSESSVR.com. Mm. You can find everything you need to know about Obsess. And anyone can always reach out to me. There's a contact email on that website, which I will get. And I'm always happy to walk anyone through a demo of our platform.
Nice.
Oh, pretty cool.
Very cool.
So, America's.
Yeah. No, I the reason why I asked how much it costs, because I would totally use that for research. Yeah. I would totally design experiments
in
a virtual.
It's above your budget.
I know. It's above your pay grade, America. So you're not, you don't make enough money.
Yeah. That's my major conclusion. Think so. I think that you and I are going to have an offline chat.
Okay. Let's definitely do that, Samantha. We really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.